Again, we're back. This is episode 238 of the Q&A podcast. My name is Anthony, and sitting right across from me via Zoom, as always, is my pal DeQuincy.
Hey, everybody. We're back. How you doing, man?
Man, I am still trying to process what we were talking about before we started recording. That Miami-Denver game is insane.
Yeah. We were talking about how Colorado has been running the sports role for the last couple of weeks, and honestly, last couple of months, because the NBA champions reside there as well. And I brought up to Anthony, yeah, it's been great for Colorado, great for anybody who roots for every sports team except for the Denver Broncos. And Anthony did not know the score of which the Denver Broncos got mollywopped by today. What was the final score? 70-20?
70-20 Miami in Miami.
Yeah, the defensive coordinator don't even get on the plane home, dog.
Right.
You fired. You got to go. Just go. Just go off into the wild.
You take a Greyhound if you can.
Yeah, just get out of here. Don't even bother. We will mail your stuff to you.
Right.
I'm glad the Texans have never embarrassed us like that, man.
You can hear this.
Are you knocking on wood?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't ever count them out for something ridiculous.
I couldn't hear anything, but I saw you doing the knocking motions. All like,
oh, okay. I didn't know if it caught it or not.
Well, the Texans won today. They got D'Amico Ryan's his first victory as head coach.
In impressive fashion, too.
Yes. Man. Beat them down.
And they beat a playoff team from last year. You know, it's a division rival. A playoff team from a year ago, a matchup of young, talented QBs. Mm-hmm. Not a bad way to to kickstart D'Amico Ryan's, at least one game winning streak.
Yeah. So I was thinking about this at the game. I was like, man, it seems like the Texans always handle the Jaguars pretty easily, even going back to the expansion start and everything. So I looked it up. So the Jags and Texans have played each other 43 times. How many times do you think Houston has won?
43 times.
Yeah.
Texans are I feel like it's closer than you would think. So I would say 23-20.
29-14.
Really?
Yeah.
Man. That's really, hey, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I'm looking through. There's a stretch like there's a 5-game winning streak from 2011 to 2012. There's a 6-game winning streak 2014 to 16. And then there's a 9-game winning streak that went from 2018 to 2022.
Jeez.
All for the Texans. Like, the Texans been whooping their asses hand over fist. Just, that's ridiculous. Like, even when the Texans were bad and the Jaguars were good, you can always count the Texans to at least, get one off them.
Right.
Yeah, that was a great game today. CJ Stroud looked like a franchise quarterback. Has not thrown an interception at all in 3 games. So defense was great on all levels. And even they had a kickoff return that looked like they were going to Texan it all up, but managed to get a touchdown. But the Jags were like, oh, we're going to jag it all up. So don't worry. We're just over here jagging off, so we'll let you get that one.
Right.
It was a good game. I got nothing to complain about. Well, I got nothing to complain about that sports team today. The Astros, on the other hand.
Oof, boy. They want to make it as difficult as possible to get to the playoffs this year. Yeah. They've chosen the most difficult route.
They're like, yeah, let's make this hard today. Let's have some. Let's give everyone in Houston conniption fits. It is the most annoying. And part of this is my fault why I'm so annoyed with the team, because I go online and I see people talking about it and I just want to scream, but it's not going to fix anything.
Right.
Because they'll jump on here and blame Dusty Baker and act like he's the one pitching and hitting.
Yeah, man. You know, like, I've been going back and forth on it. It's like, to keep Chaz and Yiner out of the lineup as much as he has during this time. I get it. It's one thing. It's not great. It's not something I like. But at the same time, man, when you have multiple games, multiple innings where you have two runners on and one or two outs and you can barely eke out one run, it doesn't matter who the manager is at this point, at that time. That team is not going to win. It's not going to come out on the winning end of the box score.
Can we talk about they have multiple opportunities this series against the Royals where Yiner Diaz or Chaz McCorn were up at bat and did nothing?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I mean,
and like, it's mighty quiet today. And like the Royals game where Framber started and the Royals got four runs in the first inning, and the first error was on Maldonado. He lets the pass ball go, and Twitter is on his head, or whatever. They're on his head acting like he's the worst person in the world. And meanwhile, the Royals scored two runs yesterday in a game that Yiner Diaz started. Two runs off of two mistakes from him, and yet I hear it's crickets.
Yeah. If anything, my biggest complaint about Dusty, if I could have, is Jeremy Peña. It's like, he's obviously not the same as he was from last year. I'd like to joke around, he's making too many commercials with two different companies, you know, with HEB and Taqueria Sarandas. But it's like, he's not the same guy from last year. He's not the guy from the playoffs at all last year, you know. Call it sophomore slump, whatever you want to call it. But at the same time, I think if I can have one complaint about Dusty, it's pick a spot for Jeremy and leave him there. And I think if he's not hitting, if he's not producing, leave him at the number eight spot, like, permanently. Stop moving him up and down the lineup, number two, number six, seven, nine. Leave him at seven or eight, something like that. You know, when he gets a three-game hitting streak, we want to, you know, vault him back up to the number two spot. You know, he doesn't belong there right now. Like, that's just not where he belongs this season. He's not producing consistently to earn that spot. And I know when you give guys like, you know, Yordan or Tucker a day off, you gotta find something to do with the lineup. But I feel like a guy like that, who has all this potential, who had that great 2022 season, regular season, postseason, he's just not that guy this year. And I think he needs to find his groove in one spot in the lineup, and you gotta leave him there and let him, you know, let him fight his way back up to, you know, to that form that he helped, you know, he had at some point last year.
I look up these stats, but my computer will not let me. All right, I'll have to just go to my phone then. So last year, Astros win the World Series. Do you know where their offense ranked in all of MLB last year?
Overall?
Yeah. I'm using Fangraphs. I'm using WRC Plus. So where do you think the Astros were ranked out of all 30 teams?
They ranked, I would say, I'm looking it up too, but it's still loading. Were they fifth?
They were fifth last year.
Hey, that's a pure guess.
the WRC plus of 113. So they're 13% better than the average lineup. Do you know where they rank currently this year?
Are they 10th?
They are 5th again.
Oh my God. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Oh, it gets better. Do you know where the Astros rank since the All-Star break?
Since the All-Star break?
Yep.
It's got to be like 2 or 3.
They are 2nd.
Yeah.
They are right behind the Braves. The Braves lead the league and WRC plus since the All-Star break with 130. The Astros, 129. I say that to say the problem with this team has nothing to do with the hitting or who's in the lineup or Dusty Baker or anything like that. The problem with this team is the pitching is terrible.
Sure. No, there's no doubt about that. I mean, it's like nobody has truly taken the reins this year as like a number one guy. Framber has been, you know, he's been good, but he hasn't been 2022 good. He's been great like it was last year. Javier is, what, 9-4 with a bunch of strikeouts, but he still has like almost a 5 ERA, which is, I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. But, you know, he's definitely still, he gives up too many runs. Look, it's like you said, JP and Brown, I mean, they're rookies. They've never pitched this much in their careers. You know, they have exceeded their career totals in innings, you know, as of today. And it's showing that they are tailing off at the end of the season.
They are definitely tailing off. No doubt.
And Urquidy got hurt early. We lost Garcia early. So there's a lot of innings that, you know, those two guys had to eat up. And they did. But I don't know how Garcia or Urquidy would have done this year. I mean, he missed a lot of time this year and hasn't really bounced back from it. And, you know, ultimately he was relegated to the bullpen, which, you know, I think was the right call. I don't think he was going to I think at this point, you know, France had earned his spot in the rotation that I don't think you could have given it to Garcia, to Urquidy.
I agree.
This is definitely a different rotation than last year. I mean, this was the reason why I was okay with them not re-signing Justin Verlander for $100 million over 2 years, because there was no way he was ever going to repeat that season from last year.
Would you like to know the starting pitcher's ERA since the All-Star break?
Since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Ooh, man. It can't be great.
I'm going player by player. You ready?
Well, if you go player by player, yeah. But it can't be great overall.
No, it is not. All right. Valdez, the ace, 4.55.
Yep.
JP France, 4.59. Christian Javier, 5.10. Hunter Brown, 6.31. Justin Verlander, 3.93.
In what? 8 that starts?
Valdez has 13 starts. France and Javier both have 12. Hunter has 11 because it has not counted his start in for today. So, yikes. Mm-hmm. And Verlander, 9.
9. Oh, man.
Yeah, there's not much you're going to be able to do if your starting pitching looks like that. In fact, I want to see if I can look up what the team looks. Team starters. 64 games since the All-Star break. Starters have an ERA of 4.87.
Ooh, yeah. That's not playoff caliber at all.
It's real nasty out here. Yeah.
Look, I think the bullpen has been pretty solid again this year.
The bullpen is fine. The bats
Montero
are fine.
Turning it around.
Yeah, the problem is starting pitching. That's the issue. Like, you can you can't expect your offense to save you every time you give up six runs. We saw that today. It didn't happen.
Got close.
Well, we got close last night as well.
Again, yep. It didn't happen.
That's why I'm like, whenever I go online, I see people talk about, oh, Dusty Baker can't do this, and lineup suck. How come they didn't play this person? I'm like, the offense isn't the problem. The offense is just as good as it was last year when they won the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is their pitching has taken a nosedive.
So what do you think about France and Brown, considering they were not expected to take on the workloads that they have taken on this year? Brown clearly, you know, that power arm has clearly gassed out.
Well, also, one of the issues that I've seen come up about Brown is his mechanics mimic Justin Verlander so much because that's the guy he looked up to. Mm-hmm. So having him start right after Verlander so the team gets to see is the mechanics on back-to-back days, it's probably, you know, it might not be 100% of the problem, of course, but probably contributing to some of the issues that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, neither one of them were supposed to be pitching this much. France was never pegged as a starter in the major league level. And at the beginning of the year, Brown was supposed to be, you know, the spot starter, the sixth guy.
Yep.
So I think we're going to look at these years as good development years. You know how to get your head beaten in. So you know how to, you know, take a beating. Hopefully you can come back next year and you know, the innings limit, your image. Yeah. The innings won't be that taxing on you,
mm-hmm.
but this is just one of those, well, you're just going to have to eat the shit and like it this year.
Right. I think with Brown, you know, a guy who throws hard, throws a lot of pitches, has pitched a lot of innings this year.
And that's another thing. He throws hard. He doesn't always know where it's going.
Right. That's part of the, that's an issue that, you know, power pitchers have, you know,
especially young ones.
Yeah. You throw 98, 99 miles an hour, you know, can you guarantee it's going to go right down the middle?
If it goes right down the middle, that's still a problem.
Right
down the middle with no movement means it's going 480 feet the other way.
Right. Like, for me, or you know, I don't know if I'm looking at this, if I should be looking at it differently, but he's got to be more efficient next year.
Mm-hmm.
With his pitch, his, you know, I guess with his, obviously his pitch count, but I guess pitch selection as well. It's like, you know, you can only throw that fastball so many times that until they catch up to it.
Yeah, it's about command and control. Like, if the pitcher is calling for the fastball in the outside corner and yours ends up, you know, inside almost hitting the batter, and that's happening multiple times a game, there's nothing that anyone like Maldonado can fix that. Diaz can't fix that. That's something that he's going to have to go back in the offseason and try to fix. Like, all we can do right now is just try. It's like it's a gunshot wound and we're just putting the bandages on top to keep you alive, to get you to the hospital. That's all it is.
Yeah. And, you know, France, another guy, like the innings, you know, the career high in innings, it's catching up to him late this season.
Mm-hmm.
But still a respectable ERA, sub-4 ERA, you know, still got almost a dozen wins. Like you said, was not even expected to be in the rotation at all this year. I mean, that's got to be an encouraging sign, you know, going into next year. You have to think, if he winds up being your number five guy next year, that's not a bad spot for him to be in. It's not a bad guy to have in that spot. I don't know.
I think this team, the team that we have now, is going to be the team going into next year.
Yeah.
A couple of days ago, I was just looking at the free agents. And I was like, well, that guy's out of our price range, and that guy's out. I saw people like the Astros need to go get Blake Snell. I'm like, with what money?
Right.
I'm honest about Jim Crane. Like, he'll spend a little bit above the first level of luxury tax if need be, but if he doesn't have to, he's not going to. And they still need that money to sign some of these people to, extensions. Tucker, Chaz McCormick is, I believe this will be his first year of arbitration.
Ooh, he's having himself a year. He's having himself an arbitration year, if any.
Yeah. Right, let me look up, see who's going to that sweet, sweet arbitration.
Tucker's going to arbitration again, isn't he?
Yeah, Tucker is, Valdez is, Luis Garcia, Mauricio Dubon, Jose Urquidy, McCormick, Brian Abreu. Yeah, a bunch of this, a couple of guys are gonna get a nice pay raise.
A lot, all if not most, should get pay raises next year. Garcia, I think, is gonna, be the odd man out on that one.
Yeah, looking through who's going to be free agent next year. So free agency for the Astros next year: Michael Brantley, Hector Neris has a cool as a, I think he that option is now a what's this club option. Who am I thinking of? Somebody has let's see, Martin Maldonado, Ryan Stanek, Phil Matt Maton as well. There's a one relief pitcher. I swear, is it not Neris who has an option, a player option he can decline? Nope, this is club option for next year. Ooh, go ahead, talk. I'm gonna be looking up because I'm sorry, I'm looking. I know there's one reliever on the team that's been doing a great job who has an option, and I swore I thought it was Neris.
Is it oh gosh, what's his name? Big boy.
Big boy.
Stanek. Is it
Well, he's a free agent.
Stanek?
He's
He
an
is a free agent.
unrestricted. Yeah, unrestricted.
Let's see. I mean, there's five free agents total. Brantley, Neris, Maldonado, Stanek, Maton, that I'm looking at. Player option.
Internet wouldn't lie to me, would it? Don't worry about it. I'm spending way too much time on it. But yeah, so those are the free agents. Like, it's not the Astros aren't gonna go out there and sign big. I think honestly they're a little gun shy after the Jose Abreu contract.
Sure. And gotta think the Montero contract.
Well, at least Montero's turned it around. The Jose Abreu one, every once in a while, it's like, oh, get a little bit of hope. Oh, no, hope dashed.
But Abreu, to his credit, has turned it around a little bit at the end of the year.
I was right. It was Hector Neris. Goddamn.
Yeah, he's got a club option for eight and a
Yeah,
half.
but it converts to a player option with if he passes his end of year physical.
You think they're just gonna wear him down? Just throw him every night?
Nah, he's definitely hitting the free agency. I knew it was Neris. God damn, Sport Rack lied to me. Sport Track lied to me. And they go, no, it's a club option. No, you liars. It's definitely not going to be club option. He's definitely passing that physical.
But you look at Abreu, he's what, a 290 career hitter coming into the season. He's already surpassed home run and RBI totals from last year. but everything else is down. Hits, run. Well, he missed. I forgot he missed a bunch of games this year. Hits, runs, doubles, all down from last year.
Yeah, that was the first baseman market last year was not great.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only one that would have turned out well for the Astros was Rizzo. Have a chance, or he signed with the Yankees, and unfortunately, he got a concussion that took him out.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
So it was either Jose Abreu or who's the other first baseman? Was it Bell? That name?
Josh Bell. Yep.
Yeah. And go ahead, look up his numbers, see how you would feel about that.
I mean, at this point, it's like he was clearly, I mean, it's turned out, he's turned out to be the best of
what was available.
Group. Yeah. Not great, but still better than most. And I think if clear, I mean, obviously, if you're the Astros, you probably would have, you know, it would have probably felt like it would have been it would have stung less if maybe that was a 3-year $45 million contract than a 3-year $60 million, or you know, 59 and change.
Yeah, I just don't know what the it doesn't seem like there was another option.
Yeah.
As much as people want to sit here and play, oh, they should have brought back Yuli. I mean, y'all were not saying that last year during the regular season.
No.
We
were saying that during the playoffs.
Yeah, he was hitting well during the playoffs, but like in the regular season, y'all wanted him booted out. Let's not pretend otherwise.
Right.
So Abreu's here to stay. You know, he's got 2 more years and 19 and a half each. Like I said, I don't like you want to run through like some free agents for next year?
Yeah.
All right, let me put the free agents. Where do you want to start? Because where would the Astros upgrade? It's not going to be on the diamond. First, second, third, short, and catcher all spoken for. Right field spoken for. Left field is going to be Yordan and probably what's his name?
Chaz?
Huh?
Chaz?
No, not Chaz. The other one they put in center field whenever Verlander's hitting, Verlander's pitching. Dubon. I would say that's going to be a timeshare between the both of them. And Chaz, I would just say he, with the way he's hitting and played this year, he deserves center field.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see them like doing any like upgrades there. And if we're being 100% honest, I don't think they're doing anything except like little patchwork around the team, like fix up the bench and things like that.
Right.
But where would you like to start, good sir? You want to start the pitching side?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really the main focus.
All right. Starting pitcher, relief pitcher, where do you want?
Let's look at the bullpen.
Relief pitchers. Ah, this stinks. And I'm going to go ahead and just do unrestricted free agents. I'm going to take everyone out that has an option because we don't know. Oh, so many pitchers. All right. So the sport track, the list, it goes by from top to bottom. It goes by the salary that they made last year. So it's not like a ranking of who's the best and down to the worst. But we'll start here. First pitcher on the list, Josh Hader.
Josh Hader. He's having a great year this year. If ever there was a year to cash in, this would be it.
Yeah, I just don't think Presley's going anywhere, even with his struggles that he's had lately.
Why is that? That's really the thing I want to talk about the most is the closer spot. I think out of all the spots in the bullpen to look at, whether you choose to or not, why wouldn't you upgrade a closer or try and get rid of Presley?
Because they're still paying. They just gave him an extension. He's making $14
Okay.
million next year, and then he has a vesting option for 2025.
Okay. Okay. Well, there you go. So I'm going to say it because I think, you know, it's clear between me and you, not the biggest fan of Ryan Pressly. So I'm going to say it, whether you agree with me or not. So we're stuck with him for two more years.
I just don't think they're going to have three guys making over $10 million in the bullpen. Presley's 14. Montero is 11 and a half.
And you shouldn't. I think that's just, they clearly overspent on Montero.
And Grayman is an 8.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with. I like Grayman.
And Neris's contract is 8.5.
Well, he's not going to be there for 8.5.
Right.
It's going to be that player option. He's going to hit the market, and I guarantee he's going to be, how old is he? He's 34. So could he get a contract of something like 2 years, $22 million?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that sounds about right. Not me, not here, obviously, but.
Yeah, it's like, would you rather pay him 11 and a half or Montero 11 and a half? I think we both agree, Neris.
Right.
But yeah, I understand what you're saying. You don't like Presley. That's okay. I don't see the Astros spending money on Josh Hader.
Sure.
Next up, Will Smith.
Do.
I might pay him under the table $10 million right now for what he's done to ruin the Ranger season. We already had that Will Smith experience. He couldn't even play in the playoffs for us. What was that, 2 years ago?
Yeah. He was like unhappy that he got traded to the Astros and threw a big fit and all that stuff. Yeah, screw him. I don't need to see him back with the Astros.
Keep going.
Wait.
Yeah. Well.
Wait, was he the one that got traded to the Astros and threw a fit over it?
We traded our problems for their problems because Will Smith sucked on the Braves. They traded him, and we traded Jake Odorizzi to them.
Right. Yeah. Now, forget that guy. To quote you, he can kick rocks.
I don't recall him having a problem with the trade, but if you say so, I'll believe you. Kick rocks, pound sand, pump gas. Next up, longtime closer Craig Kimbrel.
Oof, man, I don't see him. You know, 35 years old. I don't see the Astros paying him. Obviously, $10 million, nowhere near $10 million. Would he be willing to take $5 million? I don't know.
Has he been good? I don't know.
Well, that's true, too. He's on Philadelphia right now. Let's see. How's he looking this year? Having a modest year, I think is the best way to put it. It's 8-6, which is weird. For a relief pitcher, for a closer.
Yeah, this list is just a bunch of old guys.
You know, I was gonna say, man. I mean, if we're starting with from the very top, after Hader, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 guys that are over 30, and it's like, do you really want to? I mean, why would you go after 38-year-old Ian Kennedy or 38-year-old David Robertson? You know, it's like you do have to look to the future while trying to win now as well. You know, maybe you do go after a Reynaldo Lopez who's almost 30, but see that he's almost 30.
Yeah, it's like, relief pitching is so volatile and unpredictable. It's like, would you rather go out here and pay $5, 6, 7 million a year for a 34-year-old, or just have a guy from your minor league who's like 24, 25 and controllable for 6 years.
If anything, I'd rather keep our current 32-year-old Ryan Stanek and our current, 30-year-old Phil Maton. Then I think most of these guys.
Yeah, I just don't think the guys that we've named, except for Hader, are really an upgrade over what the Astros already have.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm looking through these names like, oh, yuck.
Yeah.
You want to go starting pitching? Go over there.
Sure. All right. Hey, Otani. Yeah. Oh, he's not pitching in 2024.
Yeah, sure.
Never mind.
I'm going to be so mad when it comes out that when that ESPN notification hit, the Atlanta Braves have signed Shohei Ohtani to a 12-year minimum wage contract.
Right.
But seriously, like, I was doing the math on what the Braves have available right now, how much money they have available, and then all the options that they have for next year that they could decline. And they easily have enough to afford, like, Shohei, like, $40, $45 million to stay underneath the luxury tax.
Yep. It's disgusting how well they've, again, developed. And everybody on their team is, like, homegrown and really good.
Hey,
dirt cheap.
Can we talk about it? For all the love that national media gives the LA Dodgers for drafting development, the Braves have blown them out the water.
I mean, this Braves, like, this current Braves team is very reminiscent of that 90s Braves team with, like, Chipper Jones and Andrew Jones and Javi Lopez and, you had the free agent and Fred McGriff and Greg Maddux and but to get guys like Maddux and Smoltz and Glavine, who weren't quite Maddux, Smoltz, and Glavine when they arrived in Atlanta, like, it's better than what they did in the 90s, actually, because all of those guys are homegrown.
They're not. Like, I don't see anybody beating the Braves unless injuries, like, just take a toll on their team.
Yeah.
So let's go through.
God forbid, because you don't want to see that happen. You I want the Astros to beat the best team available. You know, the best put together team, not a scrap team, a scrap heap.
See, but, you're so nice, and you believe in honor and everything like that, and I'm like, I don't care they have a 75-year-old man playing first base. I just want another ring. Let me go through this list real quick. All right. Clayton Kershaw.
I mean, he's a Dodger for life. I mean, he's basically at this point going the Tim Lincecum route. It's like, we'll sign a contract every year, we'll go on a year-to-year basis.
I think it's perfect where he is. Like,
yeah,
systems, he's going to pitch like 140, 150 innings in the regular season, and then you're just going to put him in the cryothermic chamber and bring him out during the playoffs. That's it. Hyunjin Ryu.
Too old. I mean, you already got an old guy in Verlander. Like, I don't know if you need someone like that,
Martin Perez.
Interesting case. I look at the list, the top 10 pitchers on this list. He's, I don't know. He might be the best available to that you could actually make a run at.
You said that. I'm going to see what he's. He got the qualifying offer last year. Left on left.
Good 2022 campaign. Let's see.
Woo, that ERA.
Yeah, it's high. It is high.
4.49. We got enough of that here. Thank you very much. And also, you look at his totals year by year. It seems like last year was the fluke. The only time in his career he's had ERA under 3, 2022. And, you know, he got paid for it. He got the qualifying offer, made 19 and a half this year. So good on him.
Yeah.
He can stay in Texas if he wants to. Going down the list, Adam Wainwright, if he doesn't sit his old ass down somewhere. Julio Urias, is that Urias?
Arrested?
Yeah. He's going to be playing in the prison in the prison league with old boy from the Tampa Bay Rays.
The California Penal League.
Yeah.
Where Wild Thing Ricky Vaughn came from.
They're going to go to the Penal World Series every year between him and the shortstop from the Rays. Name blanking.
Wander Franco.
Yeah, thank you, Franco. Zach Greinke, thank you. I do not want any memory from 2019. Alex Wood. Carlos, look, if you don't say anything, I'm moving on. Carlos Carrasco. Yeah. Aaron Nola.
Maybe, but he might be too expensive.
The market value that they have on Sports Track is always like low. So they have his
low?
Yeah.
What? So his market value should be higher than $24 million?
Your market value is whatever you can get. Let's see, what this contract say? 6 years, $144 million. Would you pay that much for? Well, let me ask you, would you rather have Aaron Nola or Carlos Rodon?
Ooh. Man, that's a good question. Man, I don't know.
I asked that because Rodon got a 6 year, $162 million contract from the Yankees. So if you're wobbling back and forth, you don't know the answer, then obviously Nola's contract has to be more than 6,144.
I don't see the Astros going biting on that.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, if Rodon got 162, Nola could get that.
Right.
That's why I think some of these numbers are low. Like, the superstars are still going to get paid. Like, Blake Snell, let's see. They have his contract, his market value contract for next year at 6 years, 130. Would you rather have Blake Snell or Carlos Rodon?
I think I'd rather have Blake Snell.
I would too. So how can his contract be $32 million less than what Rodon got?
What website are you looking at again?
I'm still on Sport Track. Are you not Sport there
Track,
yet?
So,
Yeah.
Yeah, I am in there. I am there. I just don't see.
You don't see what I'm looking at?
There. Yeah.
When you go to MLB, go to free agents.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I'm looking at 2024.
Hold on. I would just see. Why am I doing that? I can just send you the damn website. Copy. I like to talk everything out so people can hear.
So I'm looking at the list, like the full list of starting pitchers, and I see Blake Snell's market value at $21,684,000.
All right, if you hit that,
okay.
You click on that, it'll show you a page where they
little
system and up top it says what their their future contract's gonna be.
Gotcha.
That's where I was.
I was looking for the I couldn't find the future contracts. Okay. Gotcha.
I'm just gonna say, how are you gonna sit here and tell me Blake Snell is only worth what was it, 130, 100? Yeah, 130 million when Rodon got 162. How? I don't think neither Nola or Snell had the injury history that Rodon has.
No. But to his credit, Nola has the playoff experience that Snell, well, Snell does, I guess.
Yeah, he was with those Rays teams.
Yeah.
For some reason, I had it in my head that Snell was the one that kept getting injured, and then I looked up his. His playoff is like, oh no, he started the majority of the season. Yeah, I'm looking at this list, and I think what the Astros are going to do this year, like they're going to patch up around the edges, maybe get a one or two extra bullpen pieces, and then hopefully sign Kyle Tucker to a long-term extension.
And one more thing. Are we still, is the cachet or is the fact, is it still a factor when we say, oh, Blake Snell is represented by the Boris Corporation?
I don't take that into. I don't listen to it all because, A, I would like someone representing me to get me the most money I could get.
Sure.
And B, if you want to go somewhere, it doesn't matter what the money is, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, whoever you're represented by, if you're talented enough, they're going to get you like crazy money. The money is crazy all around these days. But so, yeah, I guess so. In a way, that like it's not as much of a stigma anymore, is it? Teams shouldn't be afraid as much as they, I guess, used to be or whatever, or fans were, I guess. Oh, he's represented by Scott Boras. Damn.
Yeah, I feel like that was always like something owners use to like trick their fans, like, oh, Scott Boras got this guy. We can't afford him. It's like, if you wanted to, you could afford him easily. You're just making Scott Boras into the devil so you can be cheap.
Right.
Like, there's no one stopping you from signing this guy. Like, oh, Scott Boras is going to come and this guy is going to want $30 million and we can't afford this and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you could easily afford it if you wanted to. You just don't want to. You think you already got the best prime years of his career and you don't want to pay anything extra. That's what it is. And
Yeah.
Scott Boras is more than happy to come in and be like, okay, I'll be the devil. I'll be Satan. I don't care as long as my clients get the money that they want. If the Astros wanted to afford Carlos Correa, they could have. If they wanted to sign, what's his name? Gerrit Cole, they could have offered the same contract that the Yankees did. They didn't want to. And same with a bunch of these teams. A bunch of these teams have no interest in paying the players, to being big dealers on free agency, but they're going to act like the players are being overly greedy.
Yeah. Can we take one second? I've been meaning to talk about this all season.
Yeah, go ahead.
Take one second to acknowledge how the poor old San Francisco Giants threw billions of dollars at all of these free agents, which to which none took their money, and all of them wound up being busted, broken down players at some point during the season.
That's very true. Sometimes it's the moves you don't make that make you good.
Mean, Correa, they they had him, and then they didn't have him because he's got a broken leg or a broken knee or broken whatever. Judge signs that massive contract with the Yankees, almost signs with the Giants, and then breaks his big toe, like, and is useless for a third of the season.
Yeah, it's just it's bad luck on the players' side. But I guess if you're the Giants, do you say that's good luck, or is it like it still sucks that we didn't get Aaron Judge and Carlos Correa?
I don't know. That's a good question. It's a good question. But you know, looking at this list of, I'm sorry,
I would say I would always rather have the superstar than not have them.
Sure.
So you know, even if Aaron Judge is hurt, guess what? He came back. And he's still hitting home runs. He had 3 in a game, like earlier this week. Yeah. He's still like a top 5 player in the league right now.
Well, I'll tell you this. If I'm San Francisco, all that money you saved on Judge and Correa, like you go all in, you go get Shohei, and you go get Blake Snell. both on the West Coast.
Let me see. Sorry, I'm looking up the wild card. Where are the Giants at right now? They are definitely on the outside. Ooh, they're 4.5 games. They're 4.5 games out of the last wild card spot. You know who would help there? A little man called it Aaron Judge.
Yep, true.
This was supposed to be a wrestling podcast. We've done nothing but talk about baseball. Well, let's keep it going.
I love it. Let's keep it going.
Let's keep it going. Just because programming note, we're not sure we're going to have a podcast next week. Anthony's going out of town. He's living his best life. So
I'm getting a root canal tomorrow. On a Sunday. I'm going in on Monday morning.
Yes.
Yeah, root canal or something. I don't know what to.
There might be a midweek podcast. It may not be. It just depends on how many drugs Anthony's dentist gave him, and if he can.
It might be a midweek podcast. It might be a very drugged out midweek podcast.
Oh, yes, the best kind on drugs and alcohol. That's what we live for. But
it'll be the most offensive podcast we've ever done.
If it's that bad, it will not be. Right. The only people that will hear would be you and me. The only people that will hear that podcast are you, me, and God, baby.
Right.
So you saw news that Shohei Ohtani, he had surgery. He cleaned out his locker room, his locker from the Angels staff, and he's completely gone and things like that. Where do you think Shohei signs?
Oh boy, that is the now $300 million question, because I think before his elbow fell apart, I think it was legitimately, you could have legitimately called it the $500 million question.
Oh, I think he still gets 4.
So his elbow lost him $100 million then, at least, which is still, 400 is still nothing to scoff at from where we're sitting. Man, you know, obviously the Dodgers are always going to be in play. They can always – they have no problem breaking the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, but look, I think the Giants would be crazy not to pursue it. I mean, they clearly had at one point had the money. Like, you can't tell your fan base, oh, we had all this money last year to go out and try and sign Rodon and Judge and Correa, and we got none of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very next year, oh, we don't have enough money to go get Shohei. Like, you have to figure they should be in the mix just based on how much money they were willing to spend last year. I mean, it's. I think it's always going to be the usual suspects. I think the Yankees are going to look into it. And I can see the Mets making a run at him.
The thing I'm stuck on is he spent the last 6 years in Anaheim losing. Do you really want to go to another team that hasn't proven themselves in the playoffs. Like, honestly, like, if I've been thinking about this for a while, and I'm like, okay, if he really is serious about winning, there's only two teams that he should even give meetings to, and that's the Atlanta Braves and the Houston Astros, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're all but about winning,
one of those is definitely not going to happen. I know that he's not going to be an Astro. I know, you know, no matter how happy that dream would make me, it's not happening.
Right. I mean, you'd have to get rid of everyone.
Jim Crane would just have to look at the luxury tax and say "fuck it" and just roll with it. I don't see that happening.
But why wouldn't you? You guarantee to sell out that stadium every night.
I don't know. I wish I could tell you, man. I can only make Shohei to the Astros happen in the show. That's it. So I'm looking through.
They just hit 3 million fans this past Friday, you know.
First time that's happened since we were there.
Right. With the Yankees in town once this season and the Red Sox in town once this season. That place will be filled every night if you get go out and get Shohei and put him in the middle of that lineup with Tucker and Yordan.
So I'm looking at the teams that have luxury cap space for next year. Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, everyone does because the Mets did some selling. So they're about $18 million under the 2024 luxury tax, the first threshold. So I'm looking through. We can knock about 20 teams off the list right now.
Sure.
So the team with the highest amount of cap space is the Reds. So take that one. One interesting team I see, the Baltimore Orioles.
True.
Like, if the Orioles make a run this year and they get to the ALCS or even the World Series, like, don't you have to think about it, have the conversation with your front office to try to see if you can get in the meetings with Shohei's representative?
I mean, you got to at least make a call.
I feel things that would happen if ownership was interesting in winning a championship and not so interested in making money.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe the Orioles owners was like, well, enjoy them while you can because, you know, we don't have enough money to pay everybody. And I'm like, dog, y'all are just good. You're getting real good. That's the last fucking thing that your fans want to hear right now is this isn't going to last. You might
get all of your players are making like the league minimum.
The minimumest of minimums.
They're ranked, they're going to be 29th next year in the luxury tax.
Yep. So they have $207 million available. But please understand that it's just counting salaries they have. Like, yeah, next year they only have two people that are currently on the team that are making money. James McCann making $4 million and Austin Vaught. He has a club option for 2.5 next year. Everyone else on that team is either in arbitration or pre-arbitration.
Outstanding.
Even Cedric Mullins is still in arbitration. He'll be doing ARB 2 next year. I mean, if you really want to go for it, you go for it, but they're not a serious team. Moving on, the Oakland Athletics, they have their own issue going on right now. Pittsburgh Pirates, Kansas City Royals, Detroit Tigers. Can I say something about the Tigers and their current manager, AJ Hinch?
Sure.
Now, when people see the Astros winning and they win the World Series, and I'm talking about people who hate Dusty Baker, when you bring up the fact they keep winning, they're, you know, Dusty came in, three ALCSs, two World Series, a ring. They keep saying, oh, that's because of the talent. It doesn't mean anything. Anybody can do that. And then you turn around and look at what AJ Hinch has managed to do or not done with the Detroit Tigers. And I just want to say, every fucking team that wins, it's because of the talent that's on the team. You can't sit here and say, oh, if the team, the manager is only good because of the talent. It's like, no shit, dumbass. That's every fucking team. Going on. Milwaukee Brewers. No, those we're going to be poor. Cleveland Guardians, no. Miami Marlins, no. Diamondbacks, no. White Sox, no. Nationals, no. Twins, no. Rays, no. The Dodgers have $137 million in luxury cap space.
Yeah, how is that possible? Who's all coming off the books?
Everybody in the lower. Let's look. Multi-year summary. So they got like $150 million coming off. Clayton Kershaw, $20 million. Urias, 14. Enrique Hernandez, 10. JD Martinez, another 10. Ahmed Rosario, 7.8. David Peralta, 6.5. Chevy Miller, yeah, 1.5. It's a Trevor Bauer, Noah Syndergaard. They're the retained. So that Bauer contract finally comes off their books. So yeah, that's like, I guess they have 100 between this year and next year, about $102 million coming off the books. Now, of course, they have guys they got paid that are going through arbitration. Walker Buehler. Let's see who else. Dustin May. Ryan Yarbrough. So they have some guys that they're going to have to pay.
But, yeah, they but got a lot them. Of these guys who, you know, blew out their elbows this year.
Yeah, so it's not like they're going to get a bunch, a huge increase in money.
Right. So, I mean, right there, they're going to go all in on Shohei.
Yeah.
You give Kershaw $20 million again.
Or something where it's like $10 million plus, what's it called?
Not incentives.
Thank you, incentives. Yeah, I think that's the first one we talk about that actually makes sense. Also come up, Seattle Mariners have $120 million. Are you taking a look at Julio Rodriguez's contract?
No.
It's so weird. It's like he has all these incentives. And this contract could be, oh, it can be anywhere from $50 to $100 billion.
Yeah.
Let's see. His
outstanding work by Seattle to lock him up to a 12-year, $209 million contract.
Yeah, it's showing that the $209 million is guaranteed. The maximum total value is $470 million. I say this, the Seattle Mariners fans, they were making a push for Shohei at the All-Star game. When he came through, they cheered him like a returning king. So we got the Dodgers and Mariners who actually make a move. The Rockies, no. Blue Jays, no. Cardinals, Devil Magic, no. We already talked about the Giants, so they'll be interesting. The
I tell you this.
Oh yeah.
If Shohei wants to hit 100 home runs in a season, he'll sign with Colorado. He'll sign with Colorado, and they will say you can never touch a baseball in any attempt to be a pitcher.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Give you all the money.
He hits 100 home runs in a season, has an ERA above 7.
Gives up 100 home runs.
The Rockies are out. Where was I? I already said Blue Jays, Cardinals. Giants, I think they're in. The Angels, of course, are in.
They have to be.
Yeah. You agree with me, they have no shot, though, right?
Of course. I mean, unless they offer him
ownership.
You know, ownership. $400 million. Yeah.
And when I say ownership, I don't mean a piece of the team down the road. I mean he immediately becomes the owner as soon as he signs a contract. All right, Moreno, out of here.
He hands him the keys.
Yeah. Chicago Cubs.
I mean, it's like 1 year they're wheeling and dealing. The next year they're crying poor. I don't know what to think, make of the Cubs at this point. Yeah. I've never known what to make of
them. Yeah. Never mind. I'm not gonna say anything.
What?
Oh, it's just the Cubs. I just remember. I've told this story before on the podcast. Like reporters were talking to Dallas Keuchel after the Astros won the World Series, and they were like, "Are you guys afraid of, you know, coming back down to earth or having a letdown or anything?" He was like, "Oh, well, we're not the Cubs, so we should be okay." And the Cubs fans and team threw a fit and everything. They're pissed off about that. And I don't think the Cubs have made the playoffs since.
No. And they,
meanwhile, the Astros have not missed the playoffs since.
Right.
Continue down this list, Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, I you know, they'll be in the mix.
I doubt it. They trade away Mookie Betts. The Red Sox
they have one more big splash in them?
They're the most confounding team because they have all the money. Fenway Park makes money hand over fist, over feet, over head. And yet they want to act poor when it comes to one of the best players of our generation.
Right.
So I have them out. I have them on the outside looking in until further notice. The Braves, yes. Another team might be interested, the Texas Rangers.
Yeah. They've got especially this year, like I think they've made a case to, you know, to go out and spend some money, to continue to spend money.
Man, down the list, Astros, no, the Phillies, I don't think so. The Yankees, I believe when I see it. The Padres, they're already doing enough money laundering. They don't need to add Shohei into that. And then the Mets are, the luxury cap tax does not exist for them, so they're definitely in it. So all the 30 teams we named, what? 8 or 9? Dodgers, Mariners, Giants, Angels. Are you counting the Cubs? Because I'm not counting the Cubs.
No.
All right, we're not counting the Cubs or the Red Sox. Braves, 6. The Braves, 5. Rangers, Yankees, Mets. So 8 teams?
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds about right. What do you think his contract is?
Oh man, I don't know. Give me a sec to think about that.
Yeah, I'm doing some math right now. Let's see, what's 45 million times 12? So I got 12 years, 540.
Woo, 12 years, 540.
Yeah. Let's see, what's the biggest salary right now? It's Mike Trout's. Let me get the years real quick before I give you the number. Do, 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 do. Trout was 12 years, 426. So I'm giving you the same amount of years. I'm just adding an extra 114 million.
Damn. Hang on one sec.
Yeah, go ahead. So I'm saying yearly, Shohei should make almost $10 million more than Mike Trout. That doesn't sound that crazy.
No.
When I
Can you
put it
give me a
like
couple?
that.
Can you give me a minute?
Oh, you're still doing math? All
Yeah, just give me a minute.
right, go ahead. I'll just
Maybe
be
you can hit pause.
I'm just gonna start. I'm just gonna talk about these contracts. Go ahead, just jump in whenever. I just
Oh, can
wanted
we
to
hit
go.
pause? Can we hit pause for a minute?
Are you dying?
Yeah, I need a second to hit pause.
Right, pausing. All right, we're back.
So for me with Shohei, my big question is, does he, and you know, I know you mentioned the numbers, you know, Trout and all these guys before, but does he, like, the big question is, like, does he want to be the highest paid player ever and the highest annual paid player ever? Or I don't know. Like, does he want to, like, does he want to average $45 million over 10 years? Or does he want to get paid, you know, $400 million over 15 years, you know, which would 400 million would still be the most, right? Or 450 would be the most.
Back because the Mike Trout's contract is the most and it's 426.
So does he want to top that, but, you know, be paid like Bryce Harper, you know, who signed like a, you know, a longer term deal that gave the team more flexibility, but still, you know, got a huge, like, still getting huge money? Or does he want to go the route of Trout and get paid the most, you know, annually and, you know, cumulatively?
If he does, my contract does both because the most annually is this is a tie. Verlander and Max Scherzer, they both get 43.3333 million a year.
Right.
My contract was basically 45 million over 12 years.
Over 12,
Yeah.
which would give you, put you at 540. Right, right,
Yep.
right. Which I think that sounds about right for Shohei. It sounds about right what he should want, I guess. Because given the injuries, I don't, I mean, like, I think if it's going to take 540 million over 12 years, I think you're going to see the number of teams we were, you know, talking about being contenders. I think that drops in half immediately.
I think you look at Shohei, you see the shining jewel of the MLB. He is by far the star, and not just in America, it's in all countries around the world. He's the most popular MLB player. You get that, you get the MLB machine behind him. Your team is going to get all the Sunday night games on ESPN. You're getting all the primetime games. You're going to sell jerseys not only of Shohei but of your other players, like he is a cash cow. Just his name alone is worth that much money. And then when you also add in what he does on the field, like he's going to win MVP. He's going to be a two-time MVP.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be like, okay, well, we hope he can come back and pitch in 2 years. If not, he's still one of the best bats in all of baseball.
Right.
Like, oh, he can't pitch. That means he goes from being the best player in the world to maybe second, or he may still be first. It just depends if Aaron Judge can stay healthy. You know,
I can
I
say
like,
healthy.
yeah, I'm like, yes, I will gladly pay that money for him. And a 12-year contract, yes, sir.
We need to get you to talking to Jim Crane, my friend.
I'm sure they know this stuff already. They just They've already made their decision. If money wasn't an option, then
everybody would go for him.
Well, I know I was going to say Kyle Tucker would already be signed. I don't know. All I can do is give my opinion into this mic. It goes out into the ether. Some people agree, some people don't. That's what I would give Shohei. 12 years, 45 million per. That 540, 500, yeah, half a billion. Yes, he's worth it.
Woo! It's going to be very interesting to see the race, you know, the race to get to land, you know, Shohei.
Mm-hmm. All right. So since we're here, we can talk about the playoffs, upcoming playoffs. Do you remember who you picked to make it to the World Series this year?
Astros and Braves.
Did I pick the same teams?
You might have. I've kept our predictions by my desk the entire season.
And now it's gone.
And I just moved last week.
Of course. Of course. Well, we're going to see if we can find it. Because I don't think I would have picked the same team that Anthony picked. I probably picked, like, the Astros and the Mets. Something like that.
Okay, so let's see.
Or Astros, Dodge, or something. I'm pretty sure at the beginning of the year I felt like it was going to be Astros Braves, but if you usually go first, so if you would have said that, I wouldn't have said it too, just because. I don't want to say I hate when we agree, but sometimes just like some variety.
Well, you know, I think either I didn't write your prediction down, or we did pick the same because I did split every other category. I did split between you and me. Mm-hmm. So, NL Cy Young, do you want to know who we predicted?
Oh, God, it's about to get ugly. Oh, who do we pick?
So NL Cy Young, I predicted Kyle Wright, I believe from Atlanta.
Yes.
And you picked Max Fried, who got hurt early. Yes. Probably would have contended.
Yeah.
MVP, mm-hmm. I predicted Manny Machado. You predicted Trey Turner.
Well, Trey Turner. The MVP thing is really screwing me up. I got in my own head because the year before, I was like, oh, I'm going to pick Ronald Acuña Jr. He was just coming off his ACL tear. And I was like, I'll pick him. And then, of course, he doesn't win. Then going into this year, I was like, well, I can't pick Acuña again. Right. I should have picked Acuña again.
So in the AL? Mm-hmm. I'm going to start with the MVP on this one.
Yeah.
Because you may or may not want to stop recording and go throw up after.
I can't wait to be wrong.
But for MVP, and this is more palatable. And it's more like, it's more likely to happen than the other picks that we made. Mm-hmm. For MVP, I picked Yordan. Mm-hmm. Which he might finish second or third. And then you picked Kyle Tucker.
Okay.
Those aren't bad picks. They weren't bad picks then, and they're still not bad picks now. They're probably not going to happen, but they're still more likely to happen than me picking Shane McClanahan. To win the AL Cy Young Award?
Yuck. Oh, I know my pick was disgusting.
And you picking Alek Manoah.
Oh, God.
from Toronto.
Oh, that was some nasty work for me.
I should that bleep. Might be your worst pick ever.
I should bleep this whole section out. No, she hit it. I need to take another shower. I feel sick. Yeah. Was that all the awards we picked?
Those were the only ones.
Okay.
Thankfully.
Thank God. Do you have the over-unders over there? Because I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, let's see. Well, I only have mine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know where the hell I put the other ones.
Man, I had Texas under 79 or at the under this year.
I think I hit all of the AL West teams because I went over on the Astros, the Rangers, and the Mariners, and I went under with the A's and Angels.
I definitely went under with the A's and Angels, went under on Texas, over Seattle, and Houston. But see, Houston, we might be wrong in that, or I might be wrong, because I had Houston over 94 wins.
Oh, the over-under was 94? Oh, wow. Yeah, we're not hitting that one.
Yeah.
Because I remember we were both, like, shocked at the over-under for the for the Mariners. We were like, I don't know what the peers are seeing that we're not. So we both went over. And I remember for the Rangers, I said, everything's going to go right for them 1 year. It's going to be this year. Of course, I thought Jacob DeGrom was going to stay healthy the entire year. Whoops.
Man, Baltimore, whoever picked Baltimore, they, I guess they had them at 74 wins. We picked, I picked over.
I'm sure I joined you there too.
I had Boston under 80 wins, and they're currently under 80. 76 and 80. Tampa had over 87 wins. They're at 95. Toronto over. Excuse me. I had Toronto over 89 wins, and they're currently at 87. So they should still get there. And I had them win in the division. That's crazy. I picked New York under 96 wins. They're way under at 78 wins.
Oh, yeah. We both went under in New York. I remember that.
Yeah. I had Minnesota under 88 wins. They are currently at 83 and 73 in first place in the division. I had Cleveland over 88 wins in the year, 74 and 83. So,
oh boy.
Ooh, that's pretty bad. I had Kansas City under 64 wins. They're 54. I had the White Sox over 79 wins. They are at 60. And I had Detroit over 65 wins. They're at 73 wins. So, actually got that one right. So far, you know, the season is still. We'll have a week and a half left or so.
A week.
A week.
Next Sunday, last day of the season.
Hey.
I know there's some of the National League I got terribly wrong. I know one for sure. The Cardinals, I was way off on that one because I definitely picked you over.
I did too. I had them over 86 wins. They are 80. Well, they have 68 wins. Man.
And then going on. Braves, I think we're both over.
Yeah, 93 wins.
I believe we're both over on the Mets, too.
Over 95 wins. 71. Miami beat us. I had them under 80 wins. They're at 81 and 75 this year.
I think Philly, I think we Philly. Both. Did you have the over? I thought we both took the over on Philly.
I had Philly over 90 wins. They're currently at 86, so it's in range. It's within range. I had Milwaukee under 87 wins. They are currently at 88 wins. Man, I had the Reds under 68 wins, and to their credit, they've got 80 wins, which is good.
Yeah.
I had the Cubs over 75 wins, they're at 82 currently. And I had Pittsburgh under 72 wins, and to their credit, they beat that prediction with 74 wins.
Would have thought the NL Central would be our downfall. What about out west?
Let's see. Colorado, I had under 64 wins. They're 56. Mm-hmm. San Diego, I had them over 94
yeah, wins. I swear. We both had the over on that. I know that for sure.
Yep. San Francisco, I had them under 81 wins. They're currently 77 and 78.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they could stink up the rest of the season and not get to that point. And you know, keep me correct. Arizona, I had them under 75 wins, and they are 82 and 78, currently in second place. And then I had LA over 95. They're currently at 95 wins.
Well, no matter how bad you do, it will not be worse than someone predicting Alex Manoa to win the Cy Young. Who would do that?
Oh, guy didn't even play the whole season in the majors this year.
And got sent down a second time and did not report.
He didn't?
No, he did not. You didn't hear this?
Where is he? Oh, my God.
No idea. He could be in your house right now.
That's awesome.
Awesome for us, not so awesome for anyone working in the Toronto front office.
Wow.
Let's see. 3 days ago, it shows he got a right arm injection. Oh, yeah. We got anything else baseball wise?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. What I originally want to talk to you about as far as playoffs, like, are you still confident in Astros versus Braves? Because I'm confident in one half of that situation. I'm
very confident in one half of that prediction. Oh, man. Riding with the Astros all the way. I mean, I still have to. Whether my confidence is shaken or not.
Yeah. I think the biggest...
I'll neither confirm nor deny the shakenness of my confidence.
Oh. If there was a worry meter, mine is up there in some high numbers. I think the biggest issue that the Astros have right now is just fatigue. I mean,
sure.
They've been in, when you think about this, they've been in three of the last four World Series.
Right. Playing and into November.
You can make an argument the only reason they didn't make it, the reason they missed the one World Series is because of a fucking global pandemic. And even then, they still made it to the ALCS.
Mm-hmm.
It's been
played in November.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of their players played in the WBC.
Second most of all MLB teams. Only the Cardinals more players.
Oh, man.
And every starter of the Astros went except for Lance McCullers Jr. because he was hurt. Mm-hmm. And Framber Valdez. No, I'm talking about the starters that were supposed to start, that we had planned to start. Valdez, McCullers, what's his name? Javier, Garcia, and who's the last one? Urquidy.
Okay, gotcha.
Out of those five, the only two that didn't play were Framber and Lance McCullers.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Because Lance was hurt. The team told Framber, maybe you shouldn't do this. So they had to deal with the, you know, fatigue, injuries. From
and to their credit, not out yet. Still in it. Still in it.
You know. And we'll see. They got six games left. We'll see what happens. I'm tired of people acting like they know what's going on. Like when people say, oh, they must have they lost their energy, they lost it in the clubhouse. I'm like, did you feel this way when they were whooping the dog shit out of the Rangers? No. Then where'd it go between that time and then? Why did the energy turn off? What happened? And it's like, you guys don't know anything. You're just making the shit up because it makes you feel better.
Yeah.
They have no heart. It's all because the manager isn't pushing them or anything. I'm like, you thought the manager was the bee's knees when they were beating the shit when they were in first place? Again, when they had that three game set against the Rangers and swept them, you didn't have any complaints then. Like, what happened to the team all of a sudden? And the simplest solution is to say, oh, they're tired, they're fatigued, it's just not working. Other teams are bringing their A game because they're the defending champions. But that makes too much sense. You got to blame the black guy and act like he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sit here and act like Dusty Baker is some perfect manager or anything like that, because he's not. He's made a lot of mistakes in the game to game. Sometimes he hasn't pulled his starters fast enough. He goes to the wrong reliever at the wrong time. But you can't sit here and act like everything that's happened this season is because of him.
No, I mean, it's completely unfair to place to place blame on anyone. Person. I mean, this is baseball. It is a, you know, it's a team sport, you know, and it's, there are problems all over the place. All over the diamond, up and down the lineup, you know, top to bottom, starting rotation to closer. There have been issues all year. Yeah. There's really no one person to blame for that.
One of their biggest issue is they didn't have the, minor league depth in order to trade for someone of a big name to bring in here. And the reason they didn't have those trade chips is because they got fined their first and second round picks for 2 years because the manager that you guys love so dearly couldn't find his goddamn cojones and stop these niggas from cheating. Let's talk about that.
All comes full circle.
That's no reason. I say Dusty Baker is the best manager that the Astros have ever had. And I still haven't heard one argument to that. I'm still waiting.
Right.
So in closing, you're still Astro Braves?
Still Astros Braves. I'm riding, rocking with them.
All right. So last question I'll ask before we get out of here. Give me one team from each league that could wreck that prediction.
Kansas City.
Give me one team that will be in the playoffs that could
wreck. Oh, okay. I was just going to say, because, you know, they beat the Astros 5 out of 6 games this year.
Yeah. No.
You know, when they were the hottest team in baseball. But, Baltimore, I think. Yeah, you know, I don't know why sometimes these teams, like, there are similarities to that first Astros team. So yeah. I was kind of take away. I mean, they don't have a Justin Verlander. Or, you know, or a Dallas Keuchel or Lance McCullers.
Or playoff experience.
Right. But they're pretty homegrown, much like the most of the Astros were at that time, with Bregman and Altuve. So, yeah, I mean, there's just this grittiness about them that kind of reminds me of that first championship team. So they're a team to look out for. And they gave the Astros problems in the regular season. So if they meet them again in the playoffs, you have to be prepared and as a fan concerned about that. And then from the National League, who could the I mean, obviously the Dodgers. The Dodgers are always going to be in the mix. They could very well give Atlanta a run for their money.
Have you seen what LA's pitching rotation looks like now?
No.
In fact, let me go look it up right now. Fangraphs. While I'm waiting for Fangraphs, I'll say I agree with you about the Orioles in the American League. The biggest thing I see about the American League playoffs is like every team you pick, there's a flaw with them. Like even the Rays, they're currently 95-62, but we've seen them falter in the playoffs too many times.
Mm-hmm.
The Orioles, they're new to this, and usually we see once the new team doesn't make the run all the way to the World Series to the championship. The Blue Jays have holes. The Twins are the Twins, and the Mariners, like, their lineup has finally gotten it together, you know, since the All-Star break, but they're still prone to strike out every other batter. And the Rangers, you cannot trust that bullpen for anything. They almost blew another game today against the Mariners.
Yep.
All you got to do is get in. Like, even if the Astros get in as a wild card team, they're the sixth seed, they get to go and play the Twins. Like, are you really that worried about that?
No, you can't be.
All right, so
real quick, if
mm-hmm.
then if the Dodgers in the NL, if we're looking at the NL, if their pitching is suspect, I mean, at this point, it looks like a lot of teams' pitching is going to be tough. You know,
I'm looking at the Dodgers. They're starting the Dodgers for their starting rotation. They only have four players right now, so I guess they're either using an opener or they haven't settled on their fifth starter. There are four starters: Clayton Kershaw, Lance Lynn, Ryan Repito. I have no idea to say his last name. Ryan Pepiot. I don't know. He might be a little French. And Bobby Miller.
Yeah, it's tough. But, you know, I'm also thinking Philadelphia. But then you look at their rotation, and it's not great either. But the thing about Philadelphia is they were just in it last year. And a lot of their team is still intact. So they could give Atlanta a run for their money.
I mean, the best pitching in National League right now may be the Brewers. Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, and then Freddie Peralta. That's 1-2-3 right there. I think Atlanta, they just had to put, what's his name? I want to say Charlie Wilson. That is not his name. Charlie Morton, he's on the IL.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to miss the NLDS at the very least.
One more thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say how disgusting it is that Kyle Schwarber from the Phillies has 45 home runs, 100 RBI, and is hitting 198 on the season? In looking at, you know, these teams, I came across that disgusting stat line.
He is a worse version of Adam Dunn.
Unbelievable. Has anybody ever driven in 100 runs? hitting under 200?
Nope. He will be the first.
God bless him.
Yeah, but you're right. You were talking about the playoff teams with pitching. I'm looking at the Braves now. They're the team, like, we feel the most confident in the American – in the National League, excuse me. And their starting pitcher – their starting rotation right now is Spencer Strider, Kyle Wright, Bryce Elder, and who with this? Alan Winans? Because Max Fried – IL. We already talked about Morton on IL. Mike Soroka IL. That's exactly what you want right before the playoffs start. Half your starting rotation hurt.
Right. But that offense is just so good. Mm-hmm. Like, that offense is so good, and you're looking at a bunch of teams that haven't been in the playoffs before or in a while. Pitchers that haven't, you know, pitched in those big moments, and I mean, my God.
Yeah. I mean, they were the, let's see, WRC plus for the Braves last year. Let's see where they were. They were number 7, and they still got knocked out, so. I think there's going to be a couple upsets this year in the playoffs. You think so? Agree? Disagree?
Man, I think there already have been. Just the way that the playoffs are kind of, you know, the standings have played out this season, I think they're already upsets. No Yankees, no Braves.
Hey, Braves are in. Oh.
Or, I'm sorry, Red Sox. Oh, no, okay. Yankees, no Red Sox.
No Mets.
No Mets.
No Cardinals.
Nope.
No Padres. Mm-mm. I think the only division that's going to plan is the worst one, the AL Central.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No Padres.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we got a week left. I hope the Astros just can stay in it, because even if I don't care if you make it, win the division, or get in the last wild card, as long as you're in and you give yourself a chance to go to the World Series.
Yep. Good thing I'm going to be drugged up most of the week to not feel any feel any tension.
you lucky bastard. All right.
Go ahead. Watch it all unfold.
You're going to be confused.
Dribbling down my mouth.
You're going to confuse all three games against the Mariners. It's all going to be one long Steven Soderbergh-like movie for you.
Right.
All right, let's get up out of here. Once again, we were supposed to talk about wrestling, and we talked about baseball for an hour and change. Let's get up out of here. Anything else you want to say, my man?
Thanks for tuning in, as always. Always fun. Always, this is a good one. Always fun to do.
Yes, yes. All right, we'll be back later. We did not do a tier podcast this month. We'll try to get one in for you guys next month. I got a couple in the oven right now. Thank you all for downloading, listening, sharing. We appreciate that. Do us a solid. Wherever you listen to the show, please give us a 5-star review. It helps our podcast get out there in the algorithm, and it makes us feel better about ourselves. And in these trying times, that's all we ask for. Just help us feel better about ourselves. A pack of lunch meat is $4. I need all the encouragement I can for my ego, because it's not coming in my wallet. All right, we're out of here. For Anthony, I'm DeQuincy. Later.